where did I go wrong? Stay tuned, and I'll tell you on this edition of Key Life.
This is Key Life with Steve Brown, a program designed to make a positive difference in your daily life. Now open your Bible and let's go to it. Steve?
Thanks, Mike. Hope you had a great weekend, and I hope your time at your church was a wonderful celebration, as mine was, and that your pastor's sermon ministered to you in the way mine did to me. If you're just joining us, what we're doing right now is that we're spending some time on the problem of pain and suffering and evil and bad stuff and broken ropes. And you say, well, that sounds like fun. I think I'm going to listen to a music station. Now stay with us, because this is stuff that we all need to remind ourselves about, what the Bible says to those of us who are going through difficult times. And so we're taking a few weeks. Primarily, the material for this series is from my book, When Your Rope Breaks. You can get that at your local bookstore or from us at Key Life. And by the way, I don't get anything for these books, so I'm not hustling a buck. It all goes to Key Life. But I'm adding some things to that as we go through what the Bible says about it. And this is a break from our regular Old Testament survey. We were up to the book of Jeremiah when we decided to set that aside for a little while and spend some time on this particular subject. So have your Bible open if you're in a place where you can open it. I'll be referring to the Bible as we go along. It's our practice on Mondays before we study the book to go before the throne. So let's do that. Father, we praise you and we worship you. Sometimes that's hard to do when it hurts and it hurts bad. But remind us that we don't praise you and worship you just because of the good stuff that you have done for us. We do that because that's the reason we were created. We do that because you're God and because you're worthy. But Father, even knowing that, you know our frame and you know how weak we are and you know how sinful we are, and you love us anyway. And so we're here to thank you for being faithful, for your grace, for the fact that because of what Christ did, you're not angry at us anymore. And we praise you and we thank you for that. Father, you know everybody who's listening to this broadcast. You know the hard places where some people live, the times when people wonder if you're there, if you care, if you love them. So, Father, we're here because there's no other place to go, and you are sufficient. Teach us to trust you in the dark with the things that you taught us in the light. And then, Father, heal and cleanse and change and motivate. Send us out that the world may hear the laughter of the redeemed. And then, Father, as we study your word this week on Key Life, we pray for the one who teaches. They call him Reverend, and he's not much. We would see Jesus and him only, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to pretty much finish this subject that we started last week today. The question is, where did I go wrong? Because Christians are by and large guilt-ridden, and because we by and large are neurotic. Well, maybe not you, but me. I have a tendency, every time something bad happens in my life, to say, you know, it must have been because I stole a quarter from my mother's pocketbook when I was 13 years old. Listen, guys, I want to spend and spent last week saying that's from the pit of hell and it smells like smoke. The truth is that's simply not true. The whole book of Job, and we quoted Job 9:21 through 24 and Job 11:6, 13 through 14 and 16 through 17 to show that the teaching of the book of Job is that bad stuff happened to Job when he was a good man. I don't know about you. I don't want any of this stuff going on in heaven where Satan comes in to see God and says, and God says, have you seen my servant Steve? I want to be good, but I don't want to be that good because I saw what happened to Job. But the whole purpose of the book of Job is that he was a good man. He hadn't done anything wrong. Certainly nothing deserving all of the bad stuff that happened to him. So I want you to set aside that false spurious, unbiblical idea that there is a direct correlation between how bad you are and how bad things are. If there were a direct correlation, we would all be dead. Now, I did spend some time talking about chastening, 1 John 3:2 and then Hebrews 12. And we talked about that does happen, but it always happens with the loving hand of a God who isn't out to destroy us. We talked about natural consequences, 2 Samuel 12:13-14. We talked about the fact that broken ropes are not the result of your sin. We talked about what I just said from Romans 3:10-12, that if we got what we deserved, we would have it a lot worse. We talked about bad people and how they prosper. And then I want to continue talking about that a little bit today. I have a dear friend, Cleve Bell, in Miami, heads up Riverside House. And I love Cleve and Cindy more than I can tell you, and they've meant more to my life than I can tell you. I used to love, when I lived in Miami, to go to prison and to watch Cleve work. His ministry, and it's so profound in prisoners' lives, absolutely would bless me, and he never preaches, he dialogues. One time I was sitting with him, and I don't do anything, and I go with Cleve, I just sit back and watch God do his thing. Now, God isn't Cleve. God uses Cleve. But he dialogues. One time this old man and a young man were in a small group in the chapel where Cleve was speaking. The young man got up and he testified that he had become a Christian. And Cleve said, "That is so good. And I'm so glad. And it's going to make such a difference in your life." Then the old man got up and he said he had been serving the Lord for almost 2 years. I noticed, and this is Cleve, he said, and he was kind of harsh. I kind of winced. He said, "I noticed, Sam, that you're up for parole next week. What are you going to do if they don't let you out?" And Sam said, "Oh, Cleve, it'll be okay. I can serve Christ wherever I am. If he chooses to leave me here, I'll serve him here in prison." Then Cleve said, and I was shocked, he said, "You have to do more than that." Sam said, "What? What else do I have to do?" And this is what Cleve said, "You have to repent of the example you gave to some of these young men," and then he pointed to the one had given his testimony. "Every time they looked at you, you had a chick on your arm, gold on your wrist, and you were driving a big expensive car. There are a lot of people who are in jail or on drugs right now because of the example you gave them before they were put in prison." Then that old man did something I'll never forget. He walked up to the young man who had just become a Christian. And his voice trembled with emotion, and you could see the tears in his eyes. And he said, "Son, I want to ask your forgiveness for giving you the wrong model. You needed someone to tell you the truth, and I lied to you by letting you see my money and my women and my cars. And I'm so very sorry." Cleve beamed. He hugged that old man, and we all rejoiced in the obvious reality of his commitment to Christ. But as a matter of fact, that man is a good example of the point I'm making. In spite of his sin, he had everything he wanted. I love the comment of Willie Sutton, who was asked why he robbed banks. He said, "'Cause that's where the money is." If there were no money in robbing banks, nobody would rob banks. If drug pushers didn't do well, nobody would push drugs. If sin had no payback, nobody would ever sin. We all know that it does. Can we talk? I mean, I haven't been a Christian so long, I've forgotten the payback it was, the fun it was to be a pagan. If you think your broken rope and your pain and your suffering has to do with your sin, you ought to look around. You might do better by sinning more. Sometimes the wicked do prosper, and you know it's the truth, and I know it's the truth. There's one thing to think about. If you believe that you're in pain because you've done something wrong, do you believe that God forgives you? The Bible says, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If God were still exacting a price for your sin, in other words, correlating your sin with your broken rope, then the cross of Christ was a farce and you aren't forgiven until you work it off and they lied to you. I have a friend who was unfaithful to his wife more than 20 years ago, came to me saying that everything bad that had ever happened to him had happened to him because of his unfaithfulness. When I asked him if he had confessed it before God, he answered, "Not a day has gone by in the last 20 years that I have not confessed that particular sin to my wife and to God." We talked about it. And then I said to him, "The first time you confessed, it was forgiven, and I know your wife. First time you confessed it to her, it was forgiven." And I think we need to say that to us over and over again. It's an example of what Martin Luther said, that we got to preach the gospel to each other lest we become discouraged. I don't know about you. Can we talk? I'm not a good person. I'm a religious person. I'm a lot more religious than you are. I have doctorates. They call me Dr. Brown. I write books. I teach in the theological seminary. I preach in churches. I was a pastor for 30 years. So I'm a lot more religious than you are, but I'm not a good person. And when I think about what I'm capable of doing and what I have done, I'm absolutely blown away. And Satan loves to use that. God is going to get you. God is going to get you. I've learned, because I'm an old guy, to say, "Leave me alone. You're a liar, and I'm going to believe God." You think about that. I'm in. Hey, listen, if you don't have our winter magazine, I'd love to send it to you. It's absolutely free. Couple of articles, "Our God Reigns When Things Go Bad, Don't Forget Him," and "Crosses and Crowns When the Pain Becomes Unbearable, What Do You Do With It?" There's a question and answer column, a lot of good information on our Lake Barkley Fellowship this year. Hope you can come. We're going to have a great time. A lot of good resources to get you and those you love home with freedom and joy and faithfulness to Christ as your crowning achievement. It's free. Give us a call, 1-800-KEY-LIFE, 24 hours a day, or you can write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, M3H5N3, or you can email us at steve@keylife.org and ask for the magazine, and we'll send it to you free as long as supplies last. Hey, listen, if you can help us financially, I've never turned a contribution down yet. I realize that some of you can't. But when you do, you help your brothers and sisters in Christ, thousands of them who can't afford to give. For any contribution of any size, when you request it, I'll send along as my thank you the cassette teaching New Year's Examination, a good way to measure and be loved. So help us if you can. You can charge on a MasterCard, Visa, or Discover card. I gotta go. Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.